All right, if I can pray so I can get my head straight, I would appreciate it. Dear Father God, thank you, praise you. You are a mighty and majestic God, has woven together such an amazing story for us. A story whose purpose is to know you, to know about you and your works. So God, I pray that this idea you've given me works, and that we learn a little bit more about the depth of your story and the depths of your love. In the name of the baby, I pray. Amen. Oh, Yahweh, I finally understand. It's taken so long. So many times I didn't get it, but now I do. So God, please allow that baby to be my lamb. Please take away my sins. God, I look forward to seeing you again, whether face to face in heaven or when you come back here again. But Lord, either way, please make it soon. Hello. No, I wasn't talking to myself. Not that I don't, but I wasn't then. I'd be happy to explain, but it will take a while. So please, have a seat. Get comfy. Let's see. Where to begin? Thirty-four years. That should do it. Even 34 years ago, I was not what you would consider young, but I had lived a full life. I had loved and lost. Her name was Miriam. She was an amazing woman, but she's gone. We had two sons. I guess I should say we have two sons, but they have lives of their own, and I don't see them often. I decided I would not be one of those people that just sit. So I decided I would go to temple every day, rain, shine, whatever. And so I did. I found ways to be useful. Days that I felt well, I would sweep. I would sweep all the corners that no one got to, because it was my Lord's temple. I would sweep in the shadows where people never went. On days that I didn't feel so well, I'd give directions. Oh, yes, lambs, you can buy your lambs over there. And doves. Doves are the next booth. Money changers? They're over there. But be careful. A place to stay? Oh, yes, yes. Go down those stairs, out the gate, two blocks, and you tell Elijah that Simeon said to be fair. On other days, I didn't feel well at all, and I would sit. But I wouldn't sit idly. I would think. I would think through the scrolls that I knew, and try to make sense of all the promises that God would send one, and he would be struck by the serpent, but the one that God sent would crush the serpent. But he would be a lamb, that he would be born of a virgin. Could not make all the pieces fit together. It was so confusing. Oh, but I thought, and I prayed, and I watched. It was one of those days. It was a cold day. I wasn't feeling well, and then I was. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, and He gave a message to me that I would not die until I saw the Lord Savior. I was ready to see Him that moment, to leave this body and go home. But it did not work quite that way. So I continued to watch and study. I started watching the Levites and the priests. Some of them were good. Some of them were not. There was every new moon, we'd get a new crop of Levites coming to serve. And some were great at their jobs, trimming wicks and giving incense and taking offering and taking the sacrifice. Others, they made their own rules. And I know that Yahweh saw that too. I watched the people that came to bring sacrifice. And some brought lambs and bulls and rams and dove by the dozens. But they weren't it either. Some families would come on the Day of Atonement and they would bring their lamb. But it occurred to me it could not be them, because there was lines of people stacked up behind them with their lambs to give. The sacrifices just kept coming. It was exhausting to watch and heartbreaking to think about that to be clean before the Lord, something had to die. Oh. Then the Romans decided they would count the people. They wanted to know how many people they could take money from, so everyone had to come back to town. And Jerusalem looked like it was going to rip at the seams. There were people everywhere. It was so hard to get to temple. Oh, people everywhere. And I watched as new people came, new faces I had never seen. But no one stood out. One night I was resting as best as I do, and this man was screaming in the streets. He was so loud I had to get up and see what he was doing. He was a shepherd. He never stopped talking. Zerubbabel, that was his name. Oh, he smelled awful. And he talked and talked and talked. Most of his story I paid attention to. But then he got to where he said the angels brought a message. They said, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy. Today in the city of David, a baby will be born to you, and He is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord? Huh. Those words I had been waiting to hear. I asked Him more, but that was all He knew. I wasn't fit to travel as far as Bethlehem, but I waited. 7 more mornings I waited. And then I saw them. The parents brought that baby wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And they came with their offering, and they went straight to the priest. And he sacrificed those two doves. And he put his hands on the baby, and he brought blessing on him. I got up as quickly as I can. And I shuffled to be in their path. I stopped them. And I asked if I could hold that baby. The mother looked worried. She didn't think I could hold him. But I'm sure at that moment I could have lifted the temple itself. I held him. He had perfect little hands. And the tiniest little feet. but it's his eyes that I remember. His eyes shone with love. Louder than I probably should have, I said, "Sovereign Lord, you have made a promise, and you may now dismiss your servant. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people in Israel." Oh, several people were not happy with what I said. To even say Gentile near the temple would get you awful looks. But something I said struck a chord for Mary and Joseph. We began to exchange stories, and theirs was miraculous. It seems the angels had come to them and told them that Mary would be with child. Joseph declared it was not his, and an angel came and told him the same. So they came, and they brought the child to be dedicated just like they should. I knew it was time for them to leave, so I told them one more thing, that by this child, that people would rise and people would fall, that he would bring unspeakable joy for most and pain for others. They started to leave, and I saw Anna also come and greet them and pray over them. It made quite a stir. I went home that night. I skipped the evening meal because I was convinced that when I shut my eyes, I would open them in glory, that I would see my Creator and Miriam once again. But that's not what happened. When I awoke, was still here. I didn't understand what God wanted me to do. So I went back to temple, and I listened, and I watched, and I swept, and I gave directions. Time seemed to just drag by. Then a horrible, horrible day. The king, so he calls himself, he was worried about his position. He made the most awful decree. He said that every boy 2 years old and younger would be killed. Oh, the wailing. Oh, the offerings. But it happened. Yahweh, I'll never understand why it happened. And I prayed for that one boy. I felt horrible to pray for him alone, but I did. God, please allow him to escape. It was years before I had an answer to my prayer. 10 more years. But I saw him. He came for Passover. And I saw him. He was so much larger. He was a strong boy. He was growing. But his eyes, they had not changed. He made quite a stir, but I couldn't get too close. Oh, it seemed that he was talking to the priest as much as they were talking to him. Quite a crowd gathered round, and I heard whispers about how wise he was. I saw him from time to time for the next few years. He would come for festivals, for Passover. He grew stronger. I heard he grew wiser also. It was quite a bit longer till I began to see him on a regular basis. He would come no longer with Mary or Joseph, but he would come. He had new friends that followed him and listened to what he taught. Sometimes he would cause quite a stir, but he taught everyone. He taught the simple and he taught the learned. I think everyone understood a little of what he said. I don't think anyone understood everything that he said. The next time I saw him, he was coming into town. And I could not tell if it was mockery or if some people finally began to believe what I had said and what others had said. He came into town and people laid out palm branches and their coats, and they put him on a donkey like the king that he is, though I don't think they understood. And they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Oh, it was a glorious day, but it didn't last. Just days later, I was awoke. I staggered out of my street. I saw him again, but I could barely recognize him. It seems the Jews had turned on him, and they had beaten him. His body was torn and broken. His head was bleeding. He was staggering. But his eyes, they were full of love. I followed as quickly as I could. But it's a long walk. When we got to the mountain, they had nailed him to the tree. Scriptures came flooding back to my mind. That he would be cursed who hung on a tree. That he would go silent like a lamb to slaughter. That he would be slain. I was heartbroken. And he spoke. He said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And then he died. God, how can the Savior die? How can he be king if he's dead? I went home to very strange stories. People coming back to life, the temple torn, the temple veil torn. But I went to my room and I mourned. I put ashes on my head. I would not eat. All day the next day, I mourned. And then I heard the news that he was alive. People were saying, "He's alive." And I believed it. How could he not? It began to make sense. All the little bits of scripture, they fell into place in my mind and it made sense. The only way he could be king is if he was victor over all. They killed the baby. They killed the sinless man. But it couldn't stop him. He was victorious. And because of that, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the lamb that meant no more lambs would be slain. And that's when I understood. I understood that I no longer had to offer sacrifice. That I could be made clean once and for all. That the baby, the baby was my Savior. So now I'm ready. The Spirit had told me that I would not die until I had seen the Christ Lord, the Savior of the world. Though I've seen Him dozens of times, I now understand who He is. I hope that you will see it too. That the baby didn't die for me, but He died for you. And you. And you. That He is offering a gift that cannot be held in a box or with a bow. He is offering us freedom from our sins and salvation and life everlasting in heaven. I pray that you will accept His gift. Acknowledge that we are not fit to receive it, but He gives it nonetheless. That He has the power to forgive our sins. Acknowledge it before men, and He will acknowledge us before His Father. Go and believe and tell others. And hopefully I will see Him again soon, whether here or there. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. But more importantly, thank you for your gift. Thank you for your gift of your Son. Who would ever have dreamed that a baby would be our Savior? Who would ever have dreamed that you would design such a different story, that you would announce Him with angels, that you would tell the lowly, but God, that you would send your Son to save us of our sins. Praise you for all that you've done. In your name we pray.